on the eve of, well, I guess the eve is the day before, but the eve of Father's Day. This is going to be a great conversation. We have the husbands who will be joining us tonight, and we're going to sort of mix them up. We're going to go two on the first half and two on the second half. In studio with us right now is Stuart Ransom. He's the co-host of The Husband. Stuart is happily married for 16 years. He's got four children, ages 14, 11, 8, and 5. It's important for you to know that. Mm. And Stacy Jordan, also co-host of The Husbands. He's been married 14 and a half years. His kids, 14. He's got 6. 14, 13, 12, 11, 9, and 6. Those are some numbers.
You need to find something else to do.
And I've got two. Let me make sure I've got 14 and 13.
Okay.
You can't struggle with the two.
I know. That's bad. You've got 6. Phone lines are open again. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'd love for you to join the conversation. Stuart, I'm going to start with you. In your mind, your belief, you've got four kids. What does it take to be a good father? And I know I'm asking you to give me that in 1 to 2 minutes.
No, I can answer it. First of all, thank you for having us on. Because Father's Day is coming up, and then you mentioned the weather, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be terrible. I mean, isn't that just like Father's Day?
Still got to go out there and get on the grill, though.
Yeah.
Right. So it's going to take courage, right? That's what I believe it's going to take. But not courage because of, you got to deal with the kids and you got to be defensive and you got to be the safety net for them. Our spouses are rough on us, man. when it comes to the woman in your life.
You know you're about to open up some phone calls,
right? Dude, I hope I do, because it's time to keep it real.
Honey,
when it comes to Father's Day.
Honey, he said our spouses. He ain't talking about me.
Yes, I am. I look right at you when I said it.
Stop it.
So it's going to take courage, right? Because you need to work with your partner to raise these kids in a way where they could be productive citizens,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's really what it is about fatherhood. You got to take all of this, when you want to be brave and you want to stand out with your chest and say, I'm going to do this on my own, I'm a father.
Mm-hmm.
No. You got to have a support system.
Oh, yeah.
And hopefully that's going to be your wife. She's going to help you out. You're going to pull from her and she's going to pull from you. But I would say courage is... You got to have courage out here when you're dealing with these kids.
Now, Stacy Stewart brings up an important point. Now, I said he's inviting phone calls, but he mentioned the wife, and you've got 6. And again, not just 6, but you're in that age range, 14 to 6?
Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So how important is it to be a good father, right, to have a good mate? Because there's single parents out there who are good parents,
mm-hmm.
but we've got to admit it's tougher to be a single parent. So how important is it to have your wife help you in terms of keeping you up there in terms of your goodness as a father?
Yeah, I think that probably the most important thing to me being a father is my wife. I mean, besides God, you know what I mean? But my wife is supremely instrumental. Because there's so many different challenges. See, we deal with things in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I might want to be the hammer. And my wife got to let me know, hey, you don't have to deal with that this time. Or don't.
Is that instinctive? You think that's just there for fathers?
I do the same thing for her sometimes, though. It's like, hey, slow down. Usually it's with the girls. So I'm telling her, hey, mama, don't knock her out. I got you.
Right.
And she's like, hey, be easy on them. And I think that's, I think we sort of, I don't want to say play off of each other, but we work together in how we direct. So, if I'm knocking them one way, and I don't mean knocking them, like hitting them,
yes,
but just
do.
Nudging them.
I've seen you. I've been to your house.
Don't do that. Don't do that in front of the DMV. Come on. No. If I'm sort of nudging one way, she's right there. And the thing is, like, we have this rule with the kids is if I say no, don't go try ask your mama. Okay.
Wow.
And if your mother says no, you better not come to me and try to ask me, because we work together like that, and I'm not going to let you disrespect her. And so I it's my goal to preserve that that unity and that continuity of authority when it comes to how we deal with our children. Just because if we're not together, if I don't have her, or if she's operating apart from me, and that's whether you're in the same household or not.
Mm-hmm.
If you're operating separately, I think that gives the child mixed messages, and it interrupts the stability.
Let's talk about messages, though, and mixed messages. The messages society puts out there, right? There's this new Ball State study that says, listen, more men feel like to be good fathers, they've got to be engaged, you know, with their children, being there. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you like? What do you want to do? Talk to me. Mm-hmm. But yet society oftentimes still sends that message that it's the masculine provider kind of position to take. Yeah. And so you're sort of fighting those two things. Do you feel that push and pull, Stuart?
Yeah. Oh, yes. And I think it's a good thing for you to push against the perception and the pull for you to get away from the family, right? Mm-hmm. What is the intent behind that, right? Like, I need to be involved in my kid's life as much as possible. Mm-hmm. I need to ask certain questions because when they hit 18, they're going to make a decision if they want to stay with me or not, right? And I kind of get a little bit emotional. I'm a Cancer. I get a little bit emotional just thinking about it because I have a 14-year-old right now, and I hope she stays at home the whole time. I don't want her to leave. I love this girl. You know what I'm saying? But I know she's going to make a decision to leave, right? And so I want the opportunity while I have it as a father to be there, to encourage, to discipline, to take away some of the things that I want you to be his kid as long as you can be. Mm. Let me take on a lot of that baggage for you. Let me talk to you. And if society is saying, hey, you know what? Nah, man, come on out of that situation. You need to be tough. You need to be away from the home. Let the nurturer, which is the mom, deal with it. Well, no. You can't speak for me in my home. Let me do the things that I believe are right because I'm seeing an improvement or I'm seeing something happening in my child's life. And that's one of the reasons, that's one of the reasons why my wife decided to stay home and not work outside the home and take care of the kids because we didn't want to put that responsibility on anybody else to raise those babies.
Yeah.
And so you can't let society pull you away, even if it's a really strong pull.
And Stacy, you know, what are your thoughts on trying to balance that? You know, I know in my house, you know, sometimes it gets funny that, you know, I'll yell out something, mm-hmm. right? And the kids will look because, you know, that voice, your male voice comes through. And my wife will yell something. And sometimes I just laugh because it just doesn't have
it's
the same.
Like they don't hear it, right?
You know, and we'll talk about it. Even the kids will laugh about it afterwards. I say, Mommy, you know, we know she means it, but it just doesn't have the same as you do it. Yeah. But is there some value, though, in the societal masculine approach of where there is a difference between the mother and father and the way that you approach things?
Absolutely. You know what? I don't think that being masculine mm-hmm. is separate from being a nurturer. Ooh. I don't see it as two different things.
Uh-oh.
And you know what? That's my life personified. You just went down my alley because for most of my children's lives, I've been the one spending the most time with them. I've been the one at home, you know. Mm-hmm. From I had a 9-to-5 job. Things changed. My wife made more money. I came home. It made sense. And we made the same decision that Stuart made with his family, which is I didn't want somebody else raising my kids. Now, hey, if you send your kids to daycare or nursery school, whatever, hey, that's great. Absolutely. You know, do what's good for your family. But what was good for my family was that somebody was there. Mm-hmm. Because in my mind, I have to mold my kids. Mm. You know, I have to direct my kids. And I want to be very hands-on. And if I can't be there, then it's got to be somebody that I trust. And so I stay home. And I'm talking about for years, okay? For years. I have changed thousands of diapers.
Dude. I mean,
thousands.
Okay? Again, because he's got six.
That's right.
So I believe that changed thousands.
Yes, sir.
You need to do a show on that. That's what you need to do, a show when your husband's show comes on.
I keep telling him, come get me.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about fatherhood. Our guest on this half hour is Stacy Jordan. He's one of the hosts of The Husbands, which you can hear right here on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141, to be more specific. And Stuart Ransom. He's also a co-host of The Husbands. Did I get your last name right, Stuart?
Ransom, you know, Ransom. Like holding somebody up.
Ransom,
taking the money.
With an M on the end. I think I said Ransom. Yes.
You want to put your name out there like that, Ransom?
That's how you're going to remember it.
Okay.
Okay. And you also can see the show on WHUR.com. So if you want to see these guys, they also show up that you can see their little webcast. So they are all over the place. But right now, let's go back to the phone lines, and they air on Thursdays.
Thursdays at 8:30.
Thursdays
That's
at 8:30. All right. Let's go to the phone lines. Kim has a question or comment. She's calling from Maryland. Go right ahead, Kim.
Hi.
My name is Kim.
I just wanted to make a quick comment. You know, we talk about what kind of fathers that we want to be. For me, I want to be the type of father that I never had. Mm. So it involves not only just being at home and being in the house, but, you know, being committed to, you know, spending quality time with my kids. And me and my son, we were just talking about just, you know, me telling him that I love him. Mm. You know, I'm 48 years old, and my father, I grew up in a time where the men didn't tell their kids that they loved them. So I try to tell my kids I love them every day.
Yeah.
So that makes a difference, you know. So that was basically my comment.
Thank you so much, Kim. And the interesting thing of what he brings up is oftentimes I think as whatever we're doing, but especially as parents, sometimes you think about, okay, I don't want to do what my maybe dad did or some of the mistakes that you're trying not to make those mistakes. Have you all experienced the same thing, Stuart?
Oh, yeah. I've gone down that rabbit hole where I thought I had to overcorrect.
And you call it a rabbit hole?
Oh, yes, because it can get really tricky. You can go down different paths and think, I'm doing it the right way because I didn't see that in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to follow this way. But as we know, every father figures this out, that this is a learning process every day.
It is.
And you can't read a book, or you can go to your friends and they can give you suggestions. But until you're in the thick of it, this is on-the-job training forever.
And this is probably a name. I mean, obviously, when we mentioned Bill Cosby, we've got a whole lot of other issues there. But I remember he said something a long time ago. He says, parenting, you're really winging it.
Ooh.
Yeah,
you're winging it. And once I became a parent, I kind of knew what he was talking about because you're learning as you go. Let's go back to the phone lines. Pamela is calling from Upper Marlboro. Go right ahead, Pamela. I think we lost Pamela. Let's go to Maurice calling from Maryland. Go right ahead, Maurice.
Hi, how are you? I was just calling in, just making a comment that I think one thing it takes to be a father is being uncomfortable to make your family uncomfortable, that sacrifice.
Mm.
What do you think
he means being uncomfortable to make your family comfortable?
Meaning?
Well, I heard you talking about it's going to be 100 degrees this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And though it is Father's Day, versus Mother's Day. Mother's Day, your wife gets to relax and, you know, you do everything for your wife. But on Father's Day, you know, we end up still, it's another work day.
Oh, wow. Be careful now.
You said that, not me.
You're going to be on a grill. You're going to be doing the same thing you would have been doing Monday through Saturday.
Well, Maurice, it's
another day.
Let me tell you, they already know. My daughter asked me this morning, Daddy, what do you want to do? And don't say nothing.
Yeah.
She knows my thing is I don't really need to do anything. I can lay on the couch,
yeah.
Watch the U.S. Open, you all and mommy just go somewhere so my brain sort of can be free. Let me ask you all this question. How important is it, especially in 2018, right? Men, we oftentimes feel like we've got to have it together. We got to show our family that, you know, we've got everything together. Is it important for those in your family as fathers to show that we are flawed, that we have flaws?
I think it's important. It's one thing I try to tell my kids. Listen, I'm a person too, and I'm not always going to get it right. And I'm going to get on your nerves, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, you still got to listen to me,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not going to get everything right. And so recognize that I can make mistakes. But I want to go back to the thing, something that you asked before about correcting from your father. For me, because me and Stu had different experiences coming up, I tried to do everything my father did.
Mm.
Everything. In fact, I found myself, and I still find myself in situations saying, what would my dad do? You know, and I want to, if there was something that I'll just say, I'll look to add on to whatever he did, because he was a great model for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the gentleman talked about telling his kids he loved them. Man, I kiss my kids every day and I do it in front of people, too. I tell them, I'm coming to your class if you don't do it in this car. You know,
I tell my kids every day I love them.
I tell them every day. I tell them every single day. So, you know, it is important to show that, you know, that you're flawed.
So we've got two fathers here. With a total of 10 children, kissing them every day. That's a lot of kissing. This conversation is going to continue. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bride, in for Harold Fisher. Well, today it is Friday. On Sunday, it will be Father's Day. And so today, we're talking about what it takes to be a good father. All that it takes to be a good father. And obviously, there are many things, and oftentimes, fathers get mixed messages of what they should be doing to be the type of father that many of us want to be. The phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. To help us propel this conversation along, we have the co-host of The Husbands, Stacy Jordan. Stacy has been married for 14 and a half years, and Stacy has 6 children. Randall Pike is also a co-host of The Husbands. Randall and his wife have been married for 14 years. Mm-hmm. They have 3 children. Mm-hmm. William Flowers, also a co-host of The Husbands. William is single. How'd you get on the show?
William, how you get on here, man?
Oh, I'm looking.
Well, they needed me, so that's how I got on the show.
Yeah, I met William yesterday. You doing okay with those mosquito bites caught you coming in?
Oh, yeah,
The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Again, we're talking about fatherhood and what it takes to be a good father. I do want to mention, though, William does mentor young men in the community. And he brings the perspective of being a single guy with no children, right?
Absolutely.
And what that means and how you still can be a father figure even though you don't have children. Mm,
absolutely.
All right? So
absolutely.
I don't mean to shortchange you, William. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. So, William, I'm going to start with you. You had a father, right? You have no kids now. Do you feel that sort of tug to be a biological father, or do you feel that you can get that by what you do in the community, right? Working with young people and sort of the reception you get from your presence.
Well, you know, I have a great father. And so from that, you learn lessons. One of the most important things that I learned from my dad is commitment. And so you make a commitment into these young kids' lives, being there every day, that constant male contact with them, to be an example. And so from that perspective, a kid needs to see what a man looks like and how a man acts and how a man treats a woman and how a man goes about his business in the community. And as a mentor, as I train athletes. And so young people and college students and some of the pros, they get to see how to conduct themselves as men.
Mm-hmm. Randall, how old are your children?
Man, that's a good question. Let me
think. I hope you know that.
You know it, man. But when you got, listen,
got on me, I had to stumble for a minute.
When you got more than one, you know, you got to like start to think. I have 11, 9, and 6.
Right. So you're in that window too, where they're always watching what you do.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But at this age, they're really watching what you do. Do you feel pressure in being a father?
That's a good question. I would say a good kind of pressure. Mm-hmm. I would say a pressure to make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
And in your mind, that is what?
Doing what I'm supposed to do is, one, to love their mom. Shout out to my wife for making me a dad. But to love, show them what love is supposed to look like by loving their mom. And also by just being a servant leader. Mm-hmm. Serving first, you know, there's nothing wrong with being last if you're showing people how to serve. And I feel like if I'm showing them how to serve would be productive for our community. You know, if I'm teaching young men and women how they're supposed to act once they're outside the house, so they can infect how society is supposed to look like from the Pike's perspective, then that's a good thing.
Stacy, what do you think are the expectations of children with their fathers?
I think they expect to be protected. A lot of times, if there's a danger or a dangerous situation, you know, or times that they feel fear for, you know, especially for my younger kids, and you know, initially, you know, that's who they run to when they think there's trouble. My kids, in particular, come to me to settle things. So if they want something, they'll go to their mom, because they know me, I'm going to think about it, and I'll probably say no. But if they want something, they go to her. If they want somebody to get in trouble, they come to me. Mm-hmm. And that's their aim. But, you know, I'm always looking to adjudicate each situation properly.
Wow, adjudicate.
That's a good word.
Can he spell that?
Howard's campus, adjudicate.
Yeah, I can spell it. Hey, Siri, spell adjudicate.
See, this is what you get here, 202. This is what you can get on The Husbands, Thursday nights at 8:30. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone lines, and let's go to Mary calling from D.C. Go right ahead, Mary.
Yes, I think one of your choices were provide, and the other one was guidance. I think providing is a given, if you will, so to speak, but I think a father needs to spend time and guide his daughter, you know, when she's growing up, so that they can have a healthy relationship and not be disconnected, you know, when she becomes an adult, and look for it in someone else.
Agreed.
Yes.
And so we hear that very often, right? Because we really can get into this of daughters and sons.
Mm-hmm.
And often, you know, really the comment is sometimes you as a father, your what you bring forth is almost sometimes more important with the daughter than the son. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but I've heard that because oftentimes they say the daughter is tending to marry someone like their father for good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
Do we agree with that? Do you feel that you have to sort of, what you project is more sort of focused on your daughter than your sons? Or
I would at least say that I am more careful when it comes to my daughter.
Yes,
than
I would
my
say
sons.
That. Yeah,
because I could say something to my son, and you know, he'll either listen, or if it may not hurt him if I say it in a way that's kind of rough or cutting. But my daughter, oh man, and my daughters, they either gonna let me know, because I have one who's like, Daddy, when you said that, you hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have another one who's just taken, and she'll go somewhere and hide, you know. And then my oldest daughter, you know, we talk really well. Our personalities really work well together. And so we could have a conversation. She may not say it to me, but I can see it. You know, I can see that we may need to have a talk. But, you know, things that I may say to my son, it's no problem. You know, my daughters, man, they can take it a whole different way. So I definitely handle with care, you know, when it comes to my daughters.
But William, do you think that means sometimes we can be harder on the boys than the girls because we assume that they can take it?
I'm hesitating because it's a different response.
Mm.
And so a man is not going to, a young male is not going to respond the same way a young woman would. And so the delivery is different, like Stacey indicated. And so to say tougher, you just have to be more, to navigate a little bit carefully.
It's different,
it's
right?
Different.
But the message is still the same.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our message tonight, fatherhood. And we are talking about all things fatherhood, the good and the bad. We haven't really hit on that yet. You know, sometimes what are the bad traits of fathers that we try to avoid? I see somebody pointing. I'm not going to say that.
Point at me.
Not for
the entire DMV.
Golly. People are listening now, William.
I don't think this is a webcast, so we might be all right. Let's go back to the phone lines. Anthony calling from Baltimore. Go right ahead, Anthony.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. How are you?
All right. For me, I have an 8-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son, and I know when I had my daughter, for me, it was changing my personality as being, how can I say this, without lack of a better word, Anthony the player altogether. You know, I had to let a lot of that stuff kind of go. Now that I'm a father, a lot of ways I conducted myself towards, you know, how I conducted my daily life towards other women, this and the fourth, had to subside. That was the hardest thing for me to do because, you know, I was good at what I did. Mm. Now that I have a daughter, you know, I would work more for him, work on conducting myself more as a father's figure, but, you know, tasks will like to creep up on you, you know, from time to time, and you have to really have to shut doors. But sometimes it was hard for me to do because I didn't want to shut these doors.
Uh-oh.
Well, let me.
I didn't want to shut.
Let our panel sort of dive into that, because if I'm hearing Anthony correctly, he's saying, look, I had some ways, did some things.
Yeah.
Then I became a father, and I had to sort of.
Cut those ways down.
I had to cut those ways down. So
but the problem is, you know, when doors are wide open, you know, a lot of those doors creep back like, hey, you know.
Right.
And such, and yeah, your mind is thinking like, man, because you miss those days. You miss those independent, you know, before kid years.
Right. let me let the panel jump into that if we can. William, you kind of had your hand up.
So, did you change because you didn't want your daughter to pick someone like you? What was the motivation behind the change?
That is one of the reasons. You know, I didn't want. I do have a fear that my spirit. I don't want my spirit transferring. You know, you know, my sin is transferring to my children. So I'm like, yo, I got to stop this. But you know,
Stacy,
that's one of the things I had. You know, I think about. You know, as far as past.
Right.
Past. You know.
Okay. We got that. Hold your thought there, Anthony. Stacy, did you feel that once that first one came of your six, and Randall, that first one came of your third, did you feel like you had to change, or was it a natural thing that child is here, now I'm father, or did you walk around? I got to tell you, for a while, I kind of walked around in a space of like, I cannot believe I have a child. I cannot believe I have a father.
I think so. I went through that. Yeah. I definitely went through that because my first, you know, the first one I had out of wedlock, you know, of course, I'm you know, she became my wife, but around that time we were young. I was still in college. We got pregnant in college, and there were a lot of people still around making phone calls. Hey, I heard this has happened with you. You married now? Yeah, I am. Oh wow, you know, they're asking questions because it wasn't that long before.
Married with children.
Married with children. So after I had my first, I think I had my first at the end of 2003, and then I was married at the very beginning of 2004. So a lot of things happened. I graduated from college in 2003 as well. So a lot of my old life was still around me. And so there is a pull. But you know what? There's this thing. I mean, like I said, I watched my dad. I have in all my years never seen my dad look at another woman. And he a man. I don't know what he. I'm not saying that. Oh, he's Superman. I'm just saying I never saw that. My father loved my mother, still loves my mother. I've never seen, I don't see that in the world like I see it with them. And I think that, remember what I said, I try to do everything my father did. When I made up in my mind, my father told me, when she got pregnant, he said, don't try to marry her, try to do the right thing for the wrong reason. And don't just marry her because you're pregnant. Best advice I got in my life. Because at that point, I was free to choose her. And so at that point of choosing her, it's like, I've chosen her. There is nobody else. And so those doors shut for me. Just it was my inner conviction, you know, watching my own father.
Yeah, but I think what's important too, what you're saying there is you have this father figure in your life to give you that guidance, to help you make that decision. And I think we probably want to talk a little bit about that. And I think that's the role, William, too, that seems that you're filling in terms of being a mentor, right? A father figure to those who sort of need that wording to help them get to where they want to go. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk about, you know, all three of you here, all four of us here, and all African-American men. And are there different challenges for African-American fathers than there are for others out there? I'd like to talk about that. And also for the mothers out there, single mothers, there are cards out there now that's saying Happy Father's Day to mamas.
That's deep.
What do we think about that?
Huh? Deep.
Greg and Chico, hang on the line. We're going to get you when we come back after this timeout. We're talking about fatherhood on the eve of Father's Day. So stay with us. Our conversation on Insight on Fatherhood will continue right after this. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HRR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight, we are talking about fatherhood. Father's Day is on Sunday, and all that it takes to be a father, not just a father, but a good father. Is it being a provider? Is it being someone who is engaged with their children, a nurturer, a disciplinarian? Is it all of those things and more? We're talking about that tonight. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'd like to hear from you out there. We're going to go back to the phone lines. Greg has been waiting patiently with his question or comment. Go right ahead, Greg, calling from D.C.
How you doing? Happy Father's Day, guys.
Same
Happy
to you.
Father's Day, man.
Happy Father's Day, man.
Cool. First of all, a lot of what y'all guys are saying, cool, is textbook. It'd be great. I probably know a couple guys like you guys. But basically, I'm a retired firefighter. And four of my five brothers are retired police and firefighters. My father was very abusive. There's seven of us. Okay. He came and went when he wanted to. But I still loved him. He beat on my mother. He abused us. I have 9 kids from 30 to 13. A lot of what you're talking about, I'm kind of not getting, but I understand. But what I wanted to say is that I took a lot of what he gave me and didn't take it. And some of it I did take it. I was verbally, I'm abusive, but I don't touch women. I don't hit like he did us. But I guess my mouth is bad.
So, Greg, let me get to this. Are you saying you don't get what our guests are saying because that hasn't been your experience?
No, I actually know people like you, but in my world in D.C., most of the people that I know are never been married, have kids, and are trying to make it. And I've been married twice, and I've been trying to make it. And a lot of what I'm hearing, I know people like that, but it's not hitting with me and the people that I know, because what I know is that I'm trying very hard to be not what my father was, but to learn from him and to be a better person. And it's taken me a long time because my first wife used my kids against me. She really did. She told them, and I just let her do whatever she wanted to do, walk away, because I'm not going to touch her or put my hands against her. 4 or 5 years later, my kids came back and like, you know what, Daddy, you was right.
All right. Well, let me let the guests sort of dive into that a little bit, Greg. He brings up an interesting point. You know, Greg is saying, look, this has been my experience. And what you guys are talking about, if I'm understanding Greg correctly, saying this sounds great, but I don't see it. I haven't seen it in my experience. I haven't seen it in my community. So where do we go with that? And Randall, I think that gets back to your point, what we were talking about during the break, and you were saying the importance of what fathers like you all can do in the community, right? The signal, the signs, the how you represent yourself, what that means for the community. And talk a little bit about that, because I think that's kind of what Greg is zeroing in on. I don't see that.
Right. Well, I think it's and that's unfortunate that he doesn't. And, you know, and I think that speaks volumes to the importance of what it means to have a man in your life to show you how to do it the right way. And I think that when it comes to us, what we try to portray is I'm going to be there. And, you know, and even more so if we have youth programs that we're a part of, you know, we try to tend to put out an image that says, you know, I can be like that guy right there. You know, I can be a steadfast guy who's going to be consistent, you know, who's not going to abuse women, who's going to be somebody who they can look to say that I can identify with him, you know. And sometimes it just takes somebody just caring enough to do so. You know, I think a lot of men want to do what they're supposed to do, but, you know, some of us don't know how to. Right. You know, some of us are struggling with, I really want to be there for X, Y, and Z. I really want to participate. I really want to have an impact on my community, but I don't know how to. Yeah. And it goes back to dads not being present in the household. You know, and I think when we get back to a space where men are raising boys and not boys raising boys, I think that's going to speak volumes to our community.
Right, but definitely. When you say we don't see that, William, do you think that is particular more so to the African-American community, seeing those fathers in the house? Or is that oversimplified? Is that focused on too much? Or is that real, that is a big issue in the African-American community, having those fatherly role models and having those fathers in the home?
It's a big issue in society today. It's definitely a big issue in the black in a black family, in the black neighborhoods, in the black, and that's the whole point of the show. So these guys are married, right? I'm not married, but I put myself in an environment to prepare. So like we were talking about the caller, Greg, you know, he has to put himself in an environment to where he can see what it means to be a healthy dad. And so I'm with a group of brothers where I can see how to model, how to make decisions, how to put my feelings to the side and actually learn and absorb what I don't have to acquire that.
Let's go back, if we can, for a moment. So the motherly thing. I had mentioned, and our news director and I were talking about this, that there are cards out there, right, that says Happy Father's Day to women, right? These single moms, they're out there trying to be the mother and the father.
Right.
But if you see businesses making cards saying that the mother is in some ways taking the place of the father, what do we think of that? What do we think of that, Randall?
I think we had our guest on last night in Ebony. Shout out to Ebony.
Ebony McMorris.
And she basically was saying, like, businesses are in the business of making money.
Right.
So, you know,
she was talking about intent.
Right. It was intentional. Yeah. You know, it's intentional to put that out there because of, you know, obviously, you know, when we, you know, when Stacey's producing the show, he studies tracks. He studies what's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. And businesses do the same thing. You know, I kind of liken that to businesses say, okay, what is the hot topic now around this holiday? How can we position ourselves to make money around this holiday?
Mm-hmm.
You know, around this time where we celebrate dads.
And they know that there are single moms out there.
Who will buy the card. And we know that there are even some people who will buy the card and give it to the single mom. Right. And say, here you go. This is for you. I want to say that I love you and happy Father's Day. Yeah. You know, I mean, and it's, you know, I guess from my perspective, you know, let's just give dad what dad deserves. You know,
some of them think they are giving what dad deserves.
You're right.
You wasn't here. I ain't giving you nothing.
You're right.
And so that's just an interesting dynamic. Let me try to get in our last phone call. Anthony is on the line. I think Anthony wants to talk about, I'm assuming, single dads and what they're dealing with. Go right ahead, Anthony, calling from the district.
Yes. How you doing, gentlemen?
Doing excellent.
How you doing, Anthony?
I'm doing great. I think most of you brothers are married, which is great, okay? And I respect that wholeheartedly. Unfortunately, I'm not in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
I've had six children, two girls and four boys. My boys now are men.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard the brother say I kiss my men. I don't care where they at. It doesn't matter.
That's how you
do it. Right. That's right. That's right, Anthony. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even my grandkids. No, granddad, don't do that. Nah. And that's how that go. But, you know, you talk about manhood. It's not an easy thing to be a father because you got to be real. You got to, you don't want to show them the bad part about you, but you got to be real with them. Let them know, I made these mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make these mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want you to make these mistakes. And I tell my kids all the time, I don't give you advice. I give you my opinion, and that's up to you to make a conscious decision out of the opinions that I give you and whoever else, because you got to live with that consequence that you make, the decision you make.
All right, Anthony, we're gonna leave it on that note. Anthony is saying to be a good father. Basically, I think what he's saying is I can guide you, but in the end, you're going to have to make your own decisions.
Very true.
I guess that's at a certain age.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I don't know when mine are 14 and 13. I can't leave too many of the decisions
sir.
Up to them.
No.
Burn the house
that's
down.
That's how we burned up.
They are the husbands, Stacey Jordan, Stuart Ransom, Randall Pike, and William Flowers. Thank you all so much. A great conversation. And again, remember to listen to the husbands on SiriusXM Channel 141.
We're actually WHUR.com.
WHUR.com. Right. Yes. I keep saying SiriusXM Channel 141. We got to get you on that, too.
Yes, baby. Amen. Let's do it.
I like that.
HUR.com Thursday nights at 8:30. Entertaining show. And if it's anything like this show, you guys should need to watch.